Well, my name is Lyle, and I'm thankful. My name is Lyle. I am so grateful that there is a God, and I know that I'm not him. I am so grateful that I didn't have to get it all right in one day. I'm grateful for the forgiveness of the things that I produced over the years that wasn't good fruit. All the things that I was a part of or believed in. All the things I made it. Like the songwriter write the song, "Lord, I'm sorry for all the things that I made it," when it was all about you. And so I'm just grateful today that I know that it's all about him. You know, I've been saved now a little over 8 years and in the ministry for a little while now. And sometimes, you know, I just don't get it right. Sometimes my reactions aren't what they ought to be. You know, and I scold myself about some things. And I began to understand that God has to teach me. He has to show me sometimes. Because with going on 9 years saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, I think I know it all, and I don't. Sometimes I think I've arrived, and I haven't. It's a continual coming. It's a continual growing. We were walking the other night. I'm going to share this, then I'm going to get into the lesson. We were walking the other night with the 10-Point Coalition. And I'm the team lead. God blessed me to be the team leader of the 10-Point Coalition. Right, so that means I go out several nights a week, and I walk for hours. And then if there's a shooting in a neighborhood, they'll call me in the middle of the night and say, "Hey, there's been a shooting at this home. This home got shot up. Here's the landlord's number." It's because I'm plugged in with the mayor and through the city. So this is the landlord's number. Call him. So I call the landlord and say, "Well, who lives here and what's going on?" And they'll tell me, "Well, so-and-so lives here. This is the name. Go knock on the door and tell them I told you to come." And so I go. I do, you know, and I don't do that. I don't get paid to do that. I do that that somebody's life may be different. I do that that somebody's life may have a meaning and a hope. So you give back. And so the other night, there's a couple guys that kind of get, that's been walking with us, and sometimes the human side gets in, you know, you get jealous and you get those kind of things. And somebody made a comment one day. We were at the mayor's office at a meeting, and somebody made a comment, "Well, I'm going to do this or that because why should Lyle get all the credit?" And that bothered me. See, because I don't get up at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning and go to them houses to go tell everybody, "Hey, look what I did." I go because there's a need. Somebody had to go. And everybody won't. They put me out. I go out there at night and walk when it's 30 degrees, 25 degrees, ice on the ground. And as a team lead for the first 9 months, I had to go out every night. I went every night. Everybody else on the team went, set, you know, you could pick the nights you want to go, but as a team, I had to go every night. You know, I didn't make excuses. The measure of a man is you do what you have to do. But hearing this over the months from the same two guys, always a comment in the back. And I never personalized it. Now, my little brother walks with me. He's my younger brother, but he's not little. He's about 6'5", 270. And we are physical people. We come from a family of physical people. And my brother would hear it sometime, and he would say to me, "Hey, man, I'm going to check him." And I tell my baby brother, "No, man, don't check him, Linus. Don't check him, man." I said, because we need him. And not that we need him because God will send somebody. He'll raise up a rock if that guy leaves. But we need him to see that the mission we're on is important enough that it's not about fame or fortune. To let him see that we're out there just doing the right thing and hope he catches on. And so this is the way I've been telling him and producing it. But just the other night, okay, all right. And And we were walking, we had walked some hours, and we were installing fire alarms and CO systems in the neighborhood and stuff. So at the end of the night, I was going to fill out the paperwork. I'm responsible for payroll and the paperwork and everything. And so I told the guys, hey, look, let's go fill out the paperwork so we can get out of here. I don't want to keep anybody over. And one of the guys that's always has something crazy to say was there. And he just stood there with his back to me as we were walking off to where we are. So I turned around, I called him by name. Hey, man. See, we're getting ready to go fill the paperwork out, you know, so I can let everybody get out of here. Okay. And he just stood there. And being saved 8 years, over 8 years, sanctified, dealing with some things, you know, knowing that God has put some things in me and fortified me. My temper began to boil. And I said, listen, so I'm going to get this paperwork out one time. If you're not here when it's done, that's just tough. And I turned around and started walking. And he said something. I don't know what he said. But I turned around and started walking toward him. I said, what'd you say? I'm talking about the team leader of the 10-Point Coalition. I'm talking about the armor bearer at Wings Deliverance Church. I'm talking about the mentor in the court, the mentor in faith base. I turned around and started walking back at him. I said, what'd you say? And I was headed back toward him. And then when he realized, he looked at me and said, man, I ain't said nothing. And I turned around. I blew it. I had to understand something. I had to look, but you know what? That showed me where I was. The word of God says, take no thought for tomorrow. And in that, that means a lot of things, because what I had done, and this maybe helps somebody here, what I had done was already set myself up. If they say one more thing, I'm going to do this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If she does this one more time, if he does that one more time, so in saying and doing that, what you have done is tied the hands of God. Because what you, if you would just wait, he said, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't plan that kind of stuff. Let the Holy Spirit guide you when those things come up. And I felt really bad afterwards. But you can't unring a bell. You know, we sat down and we had a big talk and long thing afterwards for 2 hours, as a matter of fact. And we got some things straightened out. But I thought I was somewhere that I wasn't, because in my humanistic side, I had planned, if they say one more thing, I'm going to deal with it. That takes me to this text we're going to go to tonight. And I want to ask you, what does it mean to be in season? That's the question for tonight. What does it mean to be in season? Being in season means a lot of things. I had to learn that. Being in season means that when God plants me somewhere in some place, that he needs me to do a thing in that place. Whether it be a buffer for somebody, whether just keep my mouth shut or just be an example and do the right thing. Sometimes I'm in a place where I'm not comfortable. And when I'm not comfortable, I begin to complain. Anybody been there besides me? When in a situation you're not comfortable, you begin to complain. Everything frustrates you. Everything is on your nerves. If you've given your life to God, then that means your life has been bought with a price. There are no accidents. And you aren't in this place by mistake. You aren't on house arrest at this time by mistake. You aren't in the home that you're in this time by mistake. You don't work the job you work. It's a young man here who I love very much. And I got a lot of people hired on at Shambaugh & Sons. And I wanted to get this young man in. And for some reason, the name just wouldn't, I go in there and pass, and the name just would not come up. And, you know, and I've been in there, and I know I've been in there, you know. And I have enough, I go in and tell them, hey, look, I need you to call this person. And they usually call them that day. And now, we're to capacity for now. But that young man got a job right where God wanted him to be. He put him where he needed to be. So sometimes you don't get what you think you're supposed to have because God, that's not what God has for you. See, I don't know what God has for me. I don't know where I'm supposed to be tomorrow. So I take no thought for tomorrow. I do what I need to do today. Let me read this scripture. It says, he spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth the ground? Why even let it bother the ground? Why let it even take up the nutrients out of the ground? Cut this thing down. It's not doing nothing. It's just in the way. And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. God has placed some things in me and he's placed some things in you. And there's going to come a time God's going to come looking for dividends on his investment in you. There's going to come a time he's looking for dividends in you. You've been around the rooms. You've been around the Lord. You've been around the word. You've been around long enough that now there ought to be something. And I'm not saying everybody, because we got new Christians in here. Everybody's not there, but you ask yourself. You ask yourself, what should there be something? Should somebody's life be changed because of me? Should I have bridged a gap for somebody? Should I have been a blessing for somebody? Should I have been an example for somebody? Should God put someone in my life, instead of me encouraging that person, I took them backwards. Because I complained so much to them, they came to me with their problems, I began to give them my problems. I became a Me Too fool. Now I'm telling you about my problem, your problems. Now together, we got attitude. We got attitude. And in the next 30 days, we both sat in the county jail on the same block. Oh man, I was sick of that place anyway. But God had put you there to help someone else get past where they're stranded, where they're stuck. Yeah, we were walking the other night. I got to say this because God, he deals with me in crazy ways. We were walking with a 10-point, and this lady comes up to me and she says, can I speak to you? Now, I get that a lot because people need different things. So I go up and I say, yes, ma'am. And I pull her to the side because I didn't know what she needed and I didn't want to embarrass her in front of everybody, whatever, you know, her problem is. She looks at me and she says, do you remember me? And I looked at her. I had never seen her in my life. And I looked down at her. And this was at the East Side Reunion. I looked down at her and I said, ma'am, I said, I've been through a whole lot. And I've dealt with a whole lot of people. I've been a lot of places. And please forgive me because I don't remember you. And she looks at me and she says, well, you owe me $10. Now, I don't know a time I haven't had $10 in my pocket in the last 8 years. Don't know a time. But I looked at her for a minute, and it still didn't ring a bell. If you owe someone and they mention it, it usually kicks back in. It just comes back to you, no matter how long it's been. So I looked down at her, I said, well, ma'am, I said, well, how do I owe you $10, ma'am? She says, well, I fronted you some dope at the gas station. Now, I got my 10-point vest on. My whole 10-point family's here with me. We're at the East Side Reunion. People everywhere. And I said, okay. I said, well, when was this, man? Now, if she said 12 years ago, I'd have handed her $10. Because I'm not confused about the human wreckage I left behind. I'm not confused about the mess I made in my life 20 years ago and all those times. I'm not confused. I would have gave her $10 in a heartbeat without argument because it probably was true. She said, well, that was 6 months ago. I said, ma'am, what's my name? She said, I don't know. I said, ma'am, I'm twice your size. You don't know my name. You don't know where I live. You don't know where I came from and where I'm going. Why would you front me anything? Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody give up if you weren't giving it away? Why would anybody do that? And she looked at me for a minute. I said, and ma'am, I'm going to tell you something. I said, since God's been in my life, I said, I don't remember a time I've needed $10. I said, I can't remember a time in the last 8 years I needed $10. I said, ma'am, I began to tell her, I said, ma'am, I have every major credit card there is. I have credit cards at every store in this city almost. I said, ma'am, I have debit cards, bank. I said, I work two jobs. I said, none of my bills are behind. I said, ma'am, you got the wrong person. You got the wrong person, ma'am. I said, and not only have I not needed $10 in a long time, I said, but it's been even longer than that. Since I put any dope in my body. So you got the wrong guy. And she began, I don't forget her face. She began to get loud. And the people next to us over here stood up and came over and said, he don't owe you nothing. Not him. See, this is what fruit will do when you start to bear fruit. Said, not him. Said, I know him. Said, he even got no dope from you in those 6 months. You need to take that lie somewhere else. You know what I mean? I didn't have to do, you know, and if she had came a different way and said, look, I'm hungry, I'm from out of town, there's somebody stranded me, you know, any story that made would have sounded halfway good, I'd have gave her $10. You know, no big deal. I'm not going to miss it. $10 was, you know, I'm not going to miss it. But my life is starting to bear fruit that somebody else can see something different. There's a man in this room, and he was going through some things, him and his wife. And he talked to me in this very room. He said, man, I don't know what I'm going to do, Lyle. He said, my wife's crying every night. We just ain't going to make it. The money's not there. He said, man, I got to pull a lick. I got to do something. I prayed with him in this very room. Got him on in Shambaugh and Sons. He's one of the best workers they got. I can see him being in management in the next few years. He's hired in now. 401k, insurance, life insurance, working 60 hours a week. And every time I see his wife in there, she's proud. She's got her chest stuck next to him, and he's proud to be with his wife. And he thanks me every time he sees me. I say, man, it wasn't me, it's God. It's God. This is what it's called when you start to bear fruit, when you start to be grateful, you begin to understand that God blesses you to be a blessing. We don't laugh at each other. We don't make fun of each other. I used to be on house arrest and those different things, and we used to, it was my thing. I always read the Metro section of the paper, and I always looked in court to see who was going back. That was more important to me than anything else. You know, they sent so-and-so back. Didn't talk about the ones who graduated. That wasn't important to me. Yeah, you know, they sent so-and-so back. But in this parable, there was a man who said, let me help him. There's a man who said, let me help this tree. He had no reason. He could have tore it down and been done. His work would have been easier. He said, let me help. But see, let me tell you what help is. And I preached this a while back. Let me tell you what help is. Help isn't always comfortable. Help is not always comfortable. He said, let me dig around it. That means he had to take a pick or a shovel or something and dig it and beat the ground around it and loosen the roots up. They said, let me dung it. You know what dung is? Anybody know what dung is? Let me put some crap around it. Let me put some doo-doo around this thing So if you find yourself with your roots just a little bit loose and some doo-doo around you, maybe God is growing you up. Maybe God is growing you up. And it doesn't always feel comfortable. But you know something? I got to share this with somebody. Here's a hope shot. I don't recognize my life today. I came to this room with Marvin some years ago when Marvin used to come and get me. And I was a mess. Knew the word, but I was a mess. My life was just a mess. Marvin, from that day to this day, I don't even recognize my life. I mean, because if you just be patient and allow the fruit to take place in your life and allow somebody to help you, listen to what Carl says, listen to what Ben says, listen to what Ben says, or Marvin or Donnie or these people around, because we understand some things. It's not that we're better. It's just we understand some things. Because at first I didn't know what I was going to do. When I came home from prison some years ago, man, I had some ideas, some bright ideas, and I went chasing them. I went running after them. I went running from here to there, and everything fell through. Everything fell through. I said, good gravy. But I refused to get upset about it. I'd go talk to my parole officer, and him and I would, because I began to open up who I was to my parole officer, I began to talk to him. All of a sudden, me and him were going to lunch together. Him and I were going to men's Bible study together. We were hanging out because he was somebody who was trying to help me get to where I wanted to be, and I understood that. All I know, I just wasn't going to get mad and just go back and throw things away, and it kept going down, and it kept going down. And so one day I thought, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I had an accident while in the Army in 1981. I said, I'm going to file disability on this thing. Maybe that'll help me. Maybe that's about a lot in life. I filed disability. When this form they sent me back denied. I looked at that form. I sat down at the kitchen table and wrote a letter. 2 weeks later, they said, go down to St. Joe Hospital. I went down there and talked to that guy. 3 weeks later, I got a thing saying, go to the Social Security office. You have been accepted for disability. Now, the old Lyle in my pattern of thinking, that would have been set for life for me. You understand what I'm saying? Never got to work again. I'll just take this $770 and that's going to do me for life. That's not a lot of money. $770 is just not a lot of money. You know, I mean, it's cool if you want to continue to sleep on somebody's couch all the time. It's cool if you want to keep getting rides from somebody. But if you really want to try to live, but then God began to deal with me with that $770. Guy come to me, says, look, man, I got a car I want you to see. And I ride with him. It's a Cadillac. Nice looking Cadillac, too. And I said, man, you know, my money... Funny, man, I don't know if I can afford nothing right now. You know what I mean? Because this $707 just don't go very far. He said, no, man, I'm giving you this car. I got in the Cadillac and drove off. Cadillac began to go down. After a year or two, started beating up, it was going down. I had a North Star engine in it, always running hot. I'm making $770 a month. Got no credit history. Got no credit line. Go try to borrow money to get a car. Man told me, well, you don't even have a credit line. You don't even have a credit history. Okay, man. And he tried to sell me a car about as big as one of them chairs. Little bitty car. He said, well, this is a 2015. I can get this. I said, I don't want that if it's a 2020. I said, I can't even get groceries in that little thing, you know. But I'm going to tell you what God did for me. He opened up a door. And I went out there and they opened up and they gave me credit. They said, we're going to try you. They allowed me to get credit to get my car. Now, and I'm thinking, okay, that's going to take half that $700 to pay the note on that, and then I'm going to have to pay my insurance. And then I began to think about some things. The Bible says you know the truth will make you free. I began to think about some things. Am I disabled? I said, no, I'm not disabled. I'm getting this money, but I'm not disabled. I can stand on my 2 feet. I got a strong back. I got a strong mind. I got a good heart. I'm not disabled. So I went in and told them people, hey, look here. Y'all can stop sending me that check. So I don't need that check. Because that check was a crutch to me. But that check got me over a time when I needed it. It took me through a season. I was smart enough to understand it took me through a season. And I used it for what it was for. But then I began to go to work. I began to get these little jobs. And some of them weren't paying a whole lot of money and stuff. But I was faithful. And I was faithful. And I just faithful and stayed there. Then all of a sudden, God just began to bust doors down. A guy called and talked to me about this 10-point coalition thing. He said, I need you to get 26 men and put this thing, help me put this together. Okay. So I did the things he asked me to do. And you come to find out this guy was playing at me. He was playing on me to do his job. And I found out later, I didn't find out until later, that when they knew I was doing this thing, the man asked him, he said, what about using this guy? What about Lyle? Let's look, because we need another team. And the guy told him, oh, no, you can't use him. He's not a leader. Oh, no. And he told him after, and the guy told him, so I just let it go. Before we launched, God had turned the whole thing around. That guy was gone, and Lyle was the team lead. God opened up doors for me. I find myself now, then they came to me one day and asked me about the mayor's office called and said, we need you to go out here and talk to these people at Shamball. And I'm just giving somebody what God will do for me, and he's no respecter of person. So I go out there and talk to them people, and when God got through talking through them, to the people through me, they said, we need you out here. Because I signed my contract, part of the contract was the only way that you can get Lyle Kelso out here is that you got to give everybody in this plant a $2 an hour raise. You got to raise your starting pay $2 an hour for everybody and give everybody in this plant a $2 an hour raise. And in order to get, I didn't write my contract. This is the mayor said, and if you want Lyle Kelso, they said, you got to start his benefits the first day he starts in the plant. If you want Lyle Kelso, you have to allow him to leave when he needs to come to the courthouse. You have to allow him to leave to go see about men who are having attendance problems. You have to allow him to leave to go talk to men. That's got to be part of his thing. He can't be on the floor all day if he needs to go deal with people. Then people say, come on. Everybody in that plant got a $2 an hour raise because they've got Lyle Kelso, the old dope fiend. Old thief, old liar, 20 years in prison, old gangbanger. But God began to bear fruit, and he's bearing fruit in your lives the same way. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. If you nothing, if your whole thing right now is you just the man who cleans up the kitchen at the halfway house, man, clean it up the best you can. Let them say, man, that dude is something. I ain't never seen the kitchen look like this. You give it your all. See, people who only do what they get paid for only get paid for what they do. I looked at my check 2 weeks ago, and it was so large, I thought, they made a mistake. So I got to work. I went straight into the office. I said, man, there's been a mistake on this thing. And they said, no, we just had another meeting. They said, we've never been in years to capacity. Said, we've never had this few green hats on the floor. Said, we never, the guy that runs a plant in California and Colorado and all through here, he said, I've never seen it look like this. He said, we want to get you to this amount of money quick. What God will do? The word of God says he'll make you a lender and not a borrower. An old dope fiend. And I'm not saying this, I'm not no better than anybody in this room. I probably got more time in prison than everybody in here almost. Because you're too young to have that kind of time in. You can't, God, when you surrender your life and let somebody dig around you and dung around you, God will add the increase. Because nothing's worse than being in the desert. And you look up and see an oasis because you're dry, you're thirsty, you're parched, you're ready for some help. And you get to this oasis and it's nothing more than a mirage. I don't want to be a mirage. I don't want to be a lie. I want my life to mean something. I don't want my legacy to be, man, that was a fool. I don't want my legacy to be that I got to beat my own drum and talk about what I've done. There's a man at our job now. He was homeless. I seen him walking one day and I gave him a ride. And I got him something to eat and I began to talk with him. I got him an I took his application in. I went straight in the office and said, man, this guy's hurting. He's sleeping in abandoned houses. They called him that day. Today that man has a place to stay. His wife and his daughter is back with him. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And God has put you in a position to do and be the same things, but you've got to understand what you're going through is for the making of to allow the fruit to come into your life. I went with my first couple of years home, man, I was struggling, man. Not struggling as much as needed anything, because God showed me that I could take care of you every day. For a long time, I was thinking, God, you know, I never got no extra money. And God had begun to show me, what do you need? God taught me how to deal with daily manna. He said, I'm going to give you enough for the day. I'm going to give you enough for the day. And he did that, and he did that, and he did that. And today, I don't recognize my life. And I just want to encourage somebody. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't give up. Don't get mad at the judge. Don't get mad at the case manager. Don't get mad because this officer of ignorance has his issue. Officer come in and talk crazy and all those kind of things. That's his issue. Let him do what he has to do. You know, I was riding the other day down the street and I was thinking, this is crazy. I was riding down the street thinking, why don't the police ever pull me over? That's crazy, Marvin. Police were behind me. I said, why don't he pull me over? Why don't he pull me over? Because I would love to reach in there and hand him my insurance card where I've got full coverage on my car. I would love to reach in there and show him my registration in Lyle Kelsall's name. It's not Lyle Kelsall and, it's Lyle Kelsall. My driver's license has no restrictions on it. See, that might not mean nothing to nobody, but when I was a dope fiend, I was a real dope fiend. Driver's license and insurance and stuff didn't mean nothing to me. Every time the police got behind me, said they pulled me over, I had to jump out of the car and bail. And so, you know, but I'm thinking to myself, why don't they pull me over? So I'm just encouraging somebody that I'm going to close. Hang in there. Hang in there. Talk to the mentors. Talk to each other. Encourage each other. It says two are stronger than one. And three is a strand not easily broken. Two are stronger than one. For if one falls, the other one can help him up. Two are stronger than one, because how can one keep warm by himself? This is scripture. Help each other. Encourage each other, man. Because where you are isn't where you're going to stay. Remember that just a few years ago, I was sitting in them places on parole, on paper. In fact, there was a period of my life for about 30 years that I was either on paper or in prison, straight. I was never not off paper. Or never not doing time straight. I'm not on anybody's paper. Today I got a court order in my wallet to take my phone in the courthouse. Today the attorney general calls my house. And I'm not saying that to brag, but I'm telling you that's what God will do in a life when you let somebody dig around you and dung your life. So I'm asking you. And you ask yourself this question. Am I producing any fruit? Am I producing any fruit? Take your time. Give yourself a chance. God bless you. Let's pray.